There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Even if it wasn't just perfect for the story today, Dalton, maybe this is... We would just change our show intro music to the Streets of San Francisco theme. Is that still on somewhere? Is Nickelodeon or somebody have that? Who would run that? Probably not Nickelodeon. What's the... Oh, it plays all the old... Nickelodeon's the kid stuff. The old stuff. The old shows. What is it? TV Land. Does TV Land run the Streets of... San Francisco. If it does, then I have to go back and watch it. I'm now re-enthralled. Yeah, that is one of the Easter eggs going forward this hour on Midday Mobile. That's the term, right, that you use these little hidden things. I'm giving you a tell right now. This is foreshadowing on later on in today's show. So the theme from the Streets of San Francisco, and then this Easter egg.
I took that bed and hit him upside a pie. He said, oh!
So we will find both of those Easter eggs and deliver them to you on today's Midday Mobile. It's a Wednesday, live local talk over the next couple hours. Glad you're here. And on today's show, we'll discuss one of the things going on. We'll discuss a bunch out of Montgomery today. The constitutional carry folks and this no need for concealing carry. We talked about it yesterday with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Sheriff's Association statewide, all 67 counties, Sheriff's Association opposes this removal of a requirement here for concealed carry. But there are a bunch of people that say, hey, this is what it should be. It's an infringement on our Second Amendment rights. I know that last week they had a hearing on it, and then this week now they're talking about it again. As reporting from WSFA out of Montgomery said, there were people, dozens of people at the State House opposing the bill that would rid Alabama's requirement to obtain a pistol permit before concealed carrying a firearm. It's Gerald Allen's bill, and it's Gerald Allen, State Senator Gerald Allen, has brought this bill or a version of this bill up, I think, for four sessions in a row, and that's what they're talking about today, among other things. But this is causing a lot of conversation here about doing away with concealed carry permits in the state of Alabama. Bills that are similar to this are up around the country. Different congresses, different legislatures are talking about this in other states, but right here at home, they're talking about it as well. And coming up next hour, because we've had the opinion from the Sheriff's Association on here. We'll get the opinion from those folks that want this constitutional carry, and we'll get into that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. So that's on the way. Also, John Sharp joins us here shortly. A couple things to talk about on our list. What happens if Carnival leaves again? Remember they left with the elation years ago, leaving us with the parking deck to nowhere down along the Mobile Riverfront. Now the good news, of course, an announcement here. We are in a contract with Carnival, but that's year to year. And Carnival is saying, at least according to a story John reported on over at AL.com, Carnival wants people that will spend more money on the cruise ships to sail out of Mobile. People that come through here, at least according to Carnival, y'all are not buying enough booze or is that included? I don't know what's included. You're not buying enough stuff, not losing enough money gambling. Carnival's saying, hey, the per passenger expenditure is not enough, and that the city of Mobile needs to do something to get people who are going to spend more dollars onto the cruise ships. Or, of course, the unsaid, but it's right there, the well, or we'll leave. So could Mobile be in a pickle again with Carnival? We'll get into that. Plus, yesterday's Mobile City Council meeting, as members of the city, because this is a little bit complex, but City Council voted yesterday to ask Montgomery to give them more leeway in making laws that could deal with the unlocked car, gun stolen from unlocked car situation. This is something that with our system here in the state, like if we pointed it out, whether it's the plastic bags bill, it's been the minimum wage bill, it's this question about laws dealing with guns. There are almost all big decisions made by cities. They don't get to decide it inside the municipality. It's just like the Zogby Act, right, that set up our system of government here in the city of Mobile. What do we have to do? There has to be a lawsuit or a mediation. Reserve my opinion on mediation for a little bit, but a situation where you have to ask a higher power, that being Montgomery, what you can do. And that's what City Council yesterday did when they voted on basically asking Montgomery to give the city of Mobile the ability to make a decision here when it comes to would there be penalties, if anything, on people who have unlocked vehicles and get guns stolen out of them. Because remember, the way our Constitution is set up, you've heard home rule before, right? The discussion of home rule. In the state of Alabama, Montgomery is the home rule way more than the actual municipality. And it's not the same in every state, but it is part of the system here, which has always been amusing to me when you hear the cries, and I agree with them, rightfully so, the cries out of Montgomery that the federal mandates are draconian, right? The feds are pushing down, the feds are making this demand, that demand. They have to ask the feds if they can do X, Y, or Z. And I agree with the state pushing back against the federal government on that. At the same time, this same state, they push up and back against the federal government and then push down to the municipality. So that went on yesterday. We'll talk about that in detail coming up in just a second with John Sharp from AL.com. So he's on the way, plus the Easter eggs, the couple Easter eggs I rolled out, two stories that I don't think you'll be able to live without. Okay, well, maybe one of them you can, but there's this.
I took that bed and hit him upside a pie-ow. He said, oh!
Okay, so pie-ow. And he said, oh, okay, what's that all about? And then, other than just being a television show intro definition of funk music, why the theme song from the streets of San Francisco? Well, we've got to hang out and we'll find these Easter eggs as we roll through Midday Mobile on a Wednesday. Text line's open. Love to talk to you. Maybe you figured out what these Easter eggs are. You can show off your skill set for doing your investigative work at 343-0106 on the text line. 343-0106. John Sharp joins us next right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Good to check in with our buddy John Sharp from AL.com. And lots of questions for you, John. Thanks for being on.
Hey, Sean. No problem. How are you doing?
I'm good. And I was following your tweets about the Mobile City Council meeting and the votes that... Okay, I got to get this straight. It was a unanimous support of a resolution that does what? It has something to do with Montgomery, and it has something to do with what they're trying to deal with stolen guns, right?
Yeah, this goes back a couple of weeks, probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, when the debate and the discussion and the city council really started. And so it's been a lot of back and forth. So we had a public safety committee meeting a few weeks ago, a couple council meetings in which this issue was discussed at length, and trying to find a solution to kind of an alarming statistic that James Barber presented a little bit of time ago in regards to 1,200 guns stolen out of unlocked vehicles. And so, you know, based using that statistic, you know, the city was, the council members are trying to find something to do here, led by Councilman C.J. Small. And he said, you know, the reason why he wanted to find some sort of resolution to do some sort of action was because he was getting a lot of phone calls, emails, and he claims a lot of folks were asking, what are you going to do about this? So this was kind of their response to that. And it all kind of culminated yesterday at the city council meeting, in which I would call it a compromise proposal was introduced and voted on. It does a couple of things. The first thing is it backs two pieces of legislation. So the city council is essentially throwing its weight behind two pieces of state legislation, more or less a crime-fighting initiative being sponsored by lawmakers here in Montgomery. And then the other thing would be the general resolution that says that they would like more authority to determine reasonable solutions to this particular issue of you know, guns being left in unlocked vehicles. On the two of them, I guess the most likely one that could, you know, it could result in some change would be the support of the legislations that will be sponsored in Montgomery by local lawmakers. I believe Representative Matt Simpson has one that would make it a Class C felony for someone who's, you know, is found in possession of a stolen gun. And the other one would be a constitutional amendment that would give judges more authority to determine whether or not someone's eligible for bail. So those are the two pieces of legislation which the city council is now on record saying that they are supportive of. That was a recommendation of James Barber. And then the second part that was more or less the kind of the recommendation of Councilman C.J. Small would be to request that, you know, Montgomery give Mobile City Council a little bit more authority in determining, you know, what to do in its own backyard when it comes to gun violence.
Talking with John Sharp from AL.com. John, okay, help us here because there's a little bit of a Alabama civics lesson in this, as, you know, people are hearing it and go, why does the city of Mobile have to ask Montgomery about something that's the business of within the city limits?
Yeah, because of the home rule issue here in this state, you know, the legislature's, you know, pretty much if you want to get most of anything approved, of substance like this, that you know, you have to seek out legislative support. You have to go to Montgomery and get that authorization. It's the same issue. It's the same thing that came up, you know, a year or two ago in Birmingham with regards to the Confederate monument issue. That you know, it was a tug of war between Montgomery and the city, and the city claiming, well, we should be able to do what we want to do, and the state saying, no, wait a minute, you got to get approval from us. And so it's the same thing here in Mobile, and with regards, you know, to this, you know, with regards to gun laws, basically, you know, does Mobile pass an ordinance that would be frowned upon by state lawmakers, and that was discussed a little bit, you know, what, you know, at the city about a week or two ago, there was quite a robust discussion whether or not the city should you know, be placing fines or penalties on gun owners that would you know, for leaving their guns in a vehicle, only to have them stolen and then used in a crime. And you know, there's some suggestions that, well, you know, we should be fining people for that. That was you know, that came from Councilman Small, and you know, that we should consider that. But others on the city council said, well, you know, something like that's just not going to get through Montgomery, and especially when you have a supermajority Republican legislature and a very influential Bama Carry organization, the NRA, it's a difficult lift to do. So it's definitely a civics lesson. It's confusing. You look at what the Mobile City Council passed, and there's really, you know, you question whether or not there's really any teeth to any of that, but you know, it is, they are throwing their official recommendation behind a couple pieces of legislation that they feel would go a long way and perhaps cracking down on gun violence.
Yeah, and John, you write here, general and broad, the compromise resolution would remove examples of gun control options that the city could implement if given more autonomy. I mean, that works both ways, though, right? I mean, if you don't list out the things you're going to do, and I've heard from members of the council that said they wouldn't be on board for something that would criminalize or penalize legal gun owners. I've got an audience that, by and large, those that call agree with that. I've heard Public Safety Director James Barber say the same thing on the show with us here. But this, you know, while it doesn't specify it's doing it, it doesn't deny that it would do that either.
Exactly. It's very broad in general. Their belief was, well, if we got to take these examples out, if this is something that's, you know, going to get anybody's attention in Montgomery. And basically it's asking for, and kind of the trend right now is to preempt, is for the state legislature to preempt cities on a lot of, you know, we're seeing this with the plastic bags bill.
Yep.
To preempt cities from, you know, having their own authority to decide, you know, what's best for them, for themselves, essentially, in layman's term. And that's basically what, that's why they wanted to keep it broad in general, because if you start putting specifics in there, you know, forget about it. Politically, it's just, it's not, nothing's going to happen. And the question even comes around, even if you keep it broad in general, if, you know, politically there's any appetite for it. And certainly there's people that are skeptical about that.
Yeah, you know, that's part of it, too, is this civics lesson, because the Alabama Constitution, it gives Montgomery the right to be, you know, talk about what happens in cities. Cities have to ask Montgomery to do things. It's funny, though, with that being said, they are within, you know, the way the understanding is of the Constitution, but it's funny, those same members of the legislature in Montgomery, when the feds do the same and push down on the states, oh, they howl. They howl with pain of, and I agree with them, actually, where they howl with pain of what the federal government's mandating, and then they turn around and mandate to little brother down there at the city level.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the most interesting example, the one I just mentioned, was the plastic bags bill. That's something to keep an eye on. I haven't, and I wrote about that about a week ago, and, you know, I haven't seen a bipartisan collaboration forcefully against a bill like this since the BP oil spill bill, which, you know, that got a lot of attention for the coastal area, in which there was a filibuster and a lot of discussion and a lot of attention in regards to what was going on at the time. I'm not saying that's going to happen again with this bill. I have no indication that that will happen, but I just sense that, you know, and something like this hasn't had that kind of backing, you know, where it's supported by the rest of the state, but totally, almost adamantly opposed by the folks in the coastal area.
Hey, we're talking to John Sharp with AL.com. You know, last week I was talking about it as well. I talked about the plastic bags bill a lot. I also talked about it with the side story, because a report came out, I think it was last week, USA Today, Arizona Republic, different publications had published this story about cut and paste legislation, and that plastic bags bill absolutely fit the definition of that, you know, where bills were introduced through the 50 states that had been produced by a third party, given to members of legislatures to act like that was their own idea and bring them up in their congresses wherever they are across the fruited plain.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the arguments as well against it, that you're right. I mean, that, you know, it's not where did this come from? It kind of, you know, where's the example of this? You know, that there was no example.
There's no grassroots. There wasn't. It did not come from the people. It all of a sudden just showed up.
Right, and that there's no city that's gone out on the record and said we're banning plastic bags. I mean, that hasn't happened in Alabama, at least. It might have happened elsewhere in another city in another state, but certainly, you know, nobody can you know, refer me to any city or county that's taken that measure.
Yeah, I have not seen it either. Can you hang on a second, run the news break, and come right back?
Yeah.
All right. Coming right back, we'll check back in with John Sharp. He is in Montgomery. We'll actually talk about that. He's up there as they are working on these things we're talking about, whether they be plastic bag bills or doubling down bills to keep people from driving the left lane, which is, I'll get back on my soapbox on Pettus' bill, but I also want to talk about what's happening back here at home as the city of Mobile taking a step to prevent another Carnival letdown. You know, I mean, Carnival just came in, even overloaded the other day with those Cubans that had been rescued on the ship. What about that? Will Carnival leave us again? Well, see what the city did, and we'll talk to that about that with John when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Remember the website, fmtalk1065.com. your podcast of the 40-some-odd hours a week, and maybe some of them more odd than others, odd hours a week of local programming we do. Remember, live 7 days a week, and we've got the shows all podcasted, fmtalk1065.com. Just click the link for podcast. Reminder, too, you can subscribe. That's the easiest way, through iTunes for Apple. Stitcher is the app I use for my Android phone, but also Spotify, TuneIn Radio, podcasts are out there. Easy to get that subscription, get those podcasts delivered, and give us a thumbs up or a star or whatever wacky rating tool they use on those sites. Tell them you like it. All right, return to our conversation with my buddy John Sharp, AL.com. You're in Montgomery today, as it is hot and heavy. We're still not at the halfway point, are we, of this legislative session? It seems like it's been going on forever, but we're not halfway.
No, we're not. And I was making small talk with one of the lawmakers here this morning, and I said, "Are you going to be here through June?" He just kind of looked at me and shook his head. I don't know how long this will go on till here.
I want to get into a little bit about what's happening in Montgomery today, but before that, your story from AL, another story from AL.com, I want you all to check out over there. Mobile takes steps to prevent another carnival letdown. Why do you have to bring this back up, John? This is heartbreak for the city. When the elation left us feeling deflation and leaving Mobile.
Yeah, you're right. That was, 8 years ago? 7 or 8 years ago, and it's in the back of everybody's mind still, and you know, that risk still exists. I mean, you know, Carnival's operating on a year-to-year basis here in the city of Mobile. The contracts are annual, and they're approved. They've been approved the last couple of years, but there's no guarantee that they'll stay. And there's all sorts of economic reasons why that might be. And one of the big ones that the mayor mentioned sounded eerily similar to 2011, and that's, you know, how much money is being spent on the fantasy, and it just isn't the same or as competitive as a lot of ships that sail a lot of ports that are, you know, elsewhere.
Wait, so when you say money being spent on the fantasy cruise ship, it's not money being spent by the city on it, it's the passengers are they're cheapskates? Is that what they're saying at Carnival, that the
that's what you're saying, but that's your word, but in a nutshell, essentially I guess that's the case. I mean, the city is said that there is a need to market direct market towards the type of passengers that would come
spend
on board
more money.
And spend more money. So
they're not happy with the whatever, the passengers are not buying enough booze or whatever you spend money on the cruise, gambling or whatever, right? They're not enough per passenger. Would a passenger out of New Orleans be spending more money? That seems odd that there's just that big a difference.
Well, it's kind of where you're drawing your market base from, and that's kind of what it comes back to. Visit Mobile and various other organizations with the city that are looking at where can we pull these, you know, higher spenders from. You know, where are they at? Are they in Atlanta? Are they up the I-65 corridor? Are they in Birmingham, Nashville? You know, where at? And so they're doing a little bit more direct marketing, pinpointing, you know, exactly, you know, the type of passenger, tourist, traveler that would be on a cruise ship. That where they're going to come from, how we're going to get them down here, that sort of thing. And yeah, it's not, I guess I don't know anything about it. That's not my specialty. It sounds awfully difficult to try and find the magic passenger that would please Carnival. But certainly there is, I guess, that concern right now that the ship needs to be producing more revenue for the company.
Yeah, these situations, and it's been this way, and I think it's this way in other markets, unless I don't have all the information. Carnival holds all the cards. It's a situation you've heard about it with big box retailers, and they get with some company making whatever widget that they want to sell in the big box store. Sure, they can get your widget into the big box store, but at that point, you pretty much sign off. I mean, all the rights over to the big box. In this case, that big box is Carnival. They've got the ship. They can leave. We can't move our parking deck somewhere else. I mean, we're negotiating from a point of weakness here. I mean, I think that's just factual. That's not trying to be, dramatic. I think it's just factual.
No, you've nailed it. And that's the, I've talked to, consultants in the business that in the industry, and they've said that, they've seen what Mobile's done in the last several years, and they're like, there's really not much else they can do. I mean, they're doing everything they can do. Maybe this marketing effort is something that should be ramped up a little bit. But beyond that, you know, they've done everything they can, you know, within reason. And so, you know, I don't, you know, you talk to these folks and they say that, well, you know, the cruise terminal is, you know, the customer satisfaction is very high. You know, people like the ease of getting in the mobile, parking and getting right onto the ship. So, you know, that's not an issue. So, yeah, it is. You're right. It's the ball's in, you know, the ball's completely in Carnival's court. And, you know, the issue with the cruise terminal is we still got about 10, 11 more years of a bond payment still on that building. And so the revenue generated from that cruise ship goes a long way towards paying that down. And, you know,
it's a huge thing
to have that ship.
No, it's absolutely a huge thing. And that's why it's great to see Carnival back and, you know, getting through this. But the problem is, even let's, you know, kind of project this forward. Let's we get done with the debt service on this. It's a decade later. It's paid off. We get our title to the parking deck or whatever you get back. And then what? Because at that point, if Carnival's not, you know, sailing out of here, sure, we're not, you're not bleeding money on debt service. But you have something that a parking deck can't become a hamburger stand. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's very specific in use. It's what worries me about things like the Bear Stadium, you know, Hank Aaron Stadium, or the parking deck. These things that are owned by government, if that vendor leaves, I mean, it is tough to find something else to do there.
Yeah, you're right. But I think in 11 years, it's going to be completely different conversation we're having. I mean, we're also going to have potentially a bridge built and a dredged out ship channel and all sorts of stuff. So you don't know what type of alternative type of businesses could pop up between now and then. So I think it's a little bit different than a baseball stadium that's left behind. I think, you know, that area has a potential of a lot of change in the next decade. So, you know,
yeah, I just
we'll
wonder.
Fix, but
I wonder if the. It would, to me, just looking at this for the negotiation where there's one player and multiple cities, you know, in the cruise game as they're playing one against the other, as they should. That's business. I understand it. But it seems like it would be a little more tenable here if there was another player against Carnival. Like if Carnival left, then, you know, the John Sharp Cruise Line would move in. That would be that would make this more interesting, right? There would be other suitors, but there doesn't seem to be other suitors for ports like ours.
You're right. And it would be a wonderful situation for Mobile if there was another competitor out there. And this is what they, you know, one of the smaller size ships that Carnival sails, this fantasy class that they, you know, that the, you know, the fantasy ship is part of a class that's, you know, some of the smaller and older repurposed ships of Carnival's fleet. And so the scary thing also is, what if Carnival decides to no longer continue, you know, because the ships are getting, the new ones are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So the, you know, the concern is, what if Carnival makes a business decision and decides, well, we're not going to do these type of excursions anymore. And, you know, of course, that's always a what if, what happens in the future, you know, what if there's a recession, all sorts of things, but that could apply to any industry, I guess. But I, you know, so it is, you know, there's a lot of what ifs and a lot of concerns out there, you know, with this industry. But, you know, for now, 2.5 years, Carnival being back. And I think after, you know, I remember when the Triumph came in the Mobile, you know, it was like, hey, here's, well, Mobile really stepped up to the plate and everything. And yeah, that's great. But, you know, we don't have a ship here permanently. And so there was always that feeling that we might not never see one, you know, it might never come back. And, you know, we're stuck with this huge debt on this facility. And, you know, how are we going to pay for it and so on and so forth? And I remember Sheila Gerganis over at the cruise terminal saying, you know, here comes another wedding reception. You know, you sense that she, you know, she wanted to be in the business of providing, you know, cruise ships.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's been changed. And there's a good feeling about Carnival. I mean, I was just down there the other day and just the amount of activity at that facility and the people, you know, and everything. I mean, it's just a bustling area, and it adds so much to the hotels in the city. So, you know, when it's going and going strong, it's a good thing for Mobile. It's just, you know, it's difficult when you go to these year-to-year contracts and yeah, we are at Carnival's mercy with them.
That's for sure. All right, before we wrap up, tell folks what you're doing for AL.com up in Montgomery today. What you watching?
Well, there's so much going on, I really don't know yet. But the big story here is this abortion bill. It's going to be going through a health committee today, and most likely it'll be approved, but I don't know that for a fact yet. So that's something to keep an eye on. That a lot of other states are taking up this issue as well. In case that Roe versus Wade is overturned by the Supreme Court someday.
I mean, this is a bill. Even the sponsor says she knows this is a bill that's set up to be challenged, struck down, and it's a vehicle to get to the Supreme Court, right? I mean, that's the purpose of this bill. It's not something they think is going to stand at first run.
Exactly, and there's multiple states doing this. Some of them, a little bit stronger than what Alabama's doing. So, we're not the only state that's pitching this type of bill, but this is a bill in Alabama and would focus primarily on what the state on this state. So, definitely deserves attention at this point, and it's going to get it today because there's a lot of people at the Capitol and they're primarily here for that.
Well, we will get the latest. If people want to follow what you're seeing today, probably best to go to Twitter, or what would they do?
Yeah, Twitter at JohnSharp99.
All right, John, as always, I appreciate it. Enjoy the State House there. It's such a lovely place this time of year.
All right, Sean. Be good.
Hey, well, I can't promise that. Our buddy John Sharp, AL.com. And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, it's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and glad you're here. Text line open at 343-0106. And big thank you to John Sharp for joining us. And we're talking about the Mobile City Council and votes that were taken yesterday with the council as they relate to Montgomery. Mobile City Councilman John Williams joins us now. Thanks for your time.
It's my pleasure, Sean. It's a great day in Mobile, Alabama.
Well, let's talk about this great day in Mobile, Alabama. Was it yesterday? I mean, it's like I said to John, it's kind of like you have to take a civics class, so many times talking about our municipal government, because in the state of Alabama, y'all can only make so many decisions without asking Montgomery. Is that correct?
That's right. And as you explained earlier in the show, there's, a certain amount of home rule going on, and they allow us to make certain decisions, and when they start going back on some of those promises is where I have a problem. As it stands right now, I'm kind of okay with things. But as you make preemptive strikes on municipal governments of all sizes, I got a problem.
Yeah, that cut-and-paste legislation on the plastic bag bill. When that first came out, I was talking about it. I said, I'm not anti-plastic bag. I'm a big fan of them. I've got some probably here in the studio, some in my truck. We got them in the house. I'm not anti-plastic bag, but I am bothered when, Montgomery complains about the pressure put on them by the feds, and then they turn around and do the same thing to the cities.
My words exactly yesterday in the city council meeting, without notice, these bills come down, and I just think that, and I told our local delegation, just tell us what's going on, where you stand. I don't want to be in your business, but I don't want you in mine either.
Well said. So the vote yesterday that was unanimous to ask, put it in like terms I can understand, what did y'all ask Montgomery if you could do what?
We asked Montgomery to allow us to make reasonable legislation, to create reasonable legislation to help us curb this unlocked car gun theft. And I don't know what that's going to be. I do know this, that I will never support anything that says you've got to put your gun in the back and your bullets in the front, and you got to enter from the passenger side. I will never do that. But at some point, you need to report it when you lose your gun.
But the problem is, though, I see in this, I understand the spirit, but sometimes the, you know, I'll see the spirit or something, but the to implement this, how do you do it? I mean, number one, if you go to something like this, let's say the car's broken into and the gun is stolen, people aren't going to tell you their car was unlocked. And then on top of that, then if you have a situation where somebody says, well, I tell you what, I was going to report that gun stolen, but now I don't want to start any trouble. I don't want to get any grief here. I don't want to pay any money. I'm not going to say anything.
Well, no, I don't think you ought to be any fines. You lost your, if you lost your gun, you lost your weapon, I think the reasonable thing to do is let law enforcement know that there's another gun on the street. And I'm not talking about any kind of fines. Just tell us. Just tell us so we know to be looking for that gun. And we'll know that it's stolen. And the in the legislation that's up in the State House right now, great piece of legislation with Representative or Senator Simpson that says that it's a Class C misdemeanor, I think, for a possession of a stolen gun.
Okay, and that part is
our law enforcement and our district attorneys to prosecute.
Okay, so if that passes, that gives gives this extra teeth with people in possession, criminals in possession of stolen guns. But what about this, what y'all voted on yesterday, allowing reasonable measures? Could that, I mean, that leaves it open for a lot of interpretation. That could be something that would go after the gun owner.
That's right, and I do leave that up to the state legislature to put limits on what those can be. We're just asking for reasonable, and so they can determine what is reasonable and define that. But we just need the ability to act, and right now we have no ability whatsoever to act in any capacity. Even just simple as saying, we want you to report.
But how do you, I mean, if you compel somebody to, and we've talked about it, I think it's the right thing to do. Heck, I've had so many folks in here from law enforcement have told me how important it is for law enforcement to know about guns that are out there that are stolen. But how do you, I mean, beyond that, how would you compel somebody to report it if there's not some kind of penalty, right? I mean, that's how it works, carrot and stick.
I agree. I'm not trying to tell you. I'm not, and maybe stolen's the wrong word. Maybe we're throwing it all into the locked car and saying, but if you lost your weapon, now I got to go from an Army perspective, Sean. That's what I live on.
Right.
That's my whole life was Army. If for a second I lost control of my weapon and I did not report it, I could be court-martialed. If I lost it, I was going to be in trouble, but I've lost it and didn't report it, I could be court-martialed.
But there is a difference.
Same perspective.
And I get it. I get your perspective coming, you know, and from your service to our country. But at the same time, there's requirements incumbent upon somebody who takes that oath versus somebody who is just a citizen.
I can draw that distinction, but we've got to have that conversation. We've got to be able to say that there is a limit to irresponsible gun ownership. There's just got to be.
And I agree in it, out of my heart that you're right. I think there's a lot of folks that could be strongly Second Amendment and say, hey, you have a responsibility with that firearm. I truly believe that, and I'll continue to preach that. But there will be, you know, a lot of people that are see this as, listen, I just have to speak for the people who call this show and say, hey, this is a punishing, this is punishing the gun owners.
Another parallel, okay? Protected by the Constitution and its amendments, everyone has a right to vote. Everyone has a right to vote, by God. But if you do these things,
yeah,
then you're irresponsible and you don't get to vote anymore.
True.
Now I know there's a contention to that, and there's some bills going on actively throughout our country that are saying that felons ought to get to vote. There ought to be a path back.
Mm-hmm.
There would be a path back to gun ownership, maybe if you're not responsible in your ownership, if you don't at least at the very, very, very least report it.
All right.
You lost a gun.
All right. And very good. We're going to talk about this going forward. I have just a couple of minutes, so I got to ask you about this, too. The situation with, and if you're just joining us, talking to City Councilman John Williams, what about the situation with Carnival? I mean, it's, you know, are they telling us they're going to pull out if we can't get some high rollers to lose some money on those ships?
Well, you know, those are initial talks. I will tell you that Carnival is very, and the cruise ship industry is very important to Mobile. Sandy Stimson has got both hands on the wheel with regard to this. I have no doubt that there's going to be a good resolution, and we're doing everything that we can to support him in his effort.
Yeah, and I do worry about that situation because the power structure is so unequal between Carnival and a city like ours that has debt service on a parking deck, you know, that we need them more than they need us kind of situation. That's always scary that, you know, you meet them on this demand and then next year, I mean, and they're doing their job as a business. I get it. They're doing what they're supposed to do as a private business, but next year they're going to ask for more because...
Yeah, well, the truth is, Sean, I mean, look, I love Carnival. And they've done such a great deal for us, but you know me, I kind of speak my mind a little bit.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
You go to Carnival for a little pony ride, but you kind of just, you want to go ride the horse. So we're going to go, you know, and so they've got to step up theirs so that we can step up ours. I think that the citizens will if they continue to step up their act.
All right, very good. Councilman John Williams, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on with us, and we'll check back next week.
All right, Sean. Always enjoy your show. Thank you.
Hey, likewise. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. John Williams checking in, and we'll be right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile, and we'll talk about a couple of these things. Number one, that constitutional carry push going on right now in Montgomery. What's it all about? Plus this, the Easter egg from the beginning of the show. The streets of San Francisco. We could mix in with the streets this piece of what I would consider gold here.
I took that bed and hit my son a pie-ow. He's a
pie-ow. All right. We'll pie-ow things up when we return. It's Midday Mobile on a Wednesday. What's happened to the show? I don't know. I like it, though.